in the sky. No, not the sky. In the coffee shop, sitting at the corner table, alone, scrolling down his cell phone, with 2 days' growth of beard and a milk stain on his pants. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it a dog? Is it a waffle iron? Is it a shoe? No, it's Adequate Man. Adequate Man, faster than a speeding hamster. More powerful than a toddler, able to leap over a tall noodle in a single bound. Adequate Man, when trouble rears its head, does he ignore it? No, he stays home and reads about it on the internet. When faced with injustice, does he lie down? No, he sits and tells others on social media to do something. When people are needy, does he neglect them? No, he donates $5 to the cause if it's tax deductible. When trash needs to be taken out, when dishes need to be dried, when that dog needs to be walked, he does it. Whatever the crisis, whatever the threat, citizens know they can call on him for the bare minimum. Tremble before the powers of Adequate Man, his 20/20 vision, his average physical strength, his ability to melt steel with the help of welding equipment, his bachelor's degree in environmental studies, his office data entry job, the force of which has allowed him to pay off part of his student loan, his capability of viewing an entire Netflix series in one binge, his gift for devouring 6 pizza slices in one meal. Watch Adequate Man and you will believe a man can fly, provided that he makes the airport gate on time. Adequate Man and his loyal sidekick, Drinking Buddy. What a duo! Together they rid the world of craft beer and chicken wings while they bravely watch hockey and basketball on the pub TV. When Adequate Man battles against a tough trivia question, who steps in with the right answer every time? Drinking Buddy! And when Adequate Man faces another lonely Saturday evening, whom does he call on for help? Drinking Buddy, of course. With Drinking Buddy six packs and Xbox games, both of them team up to save the night once more. Feel the wrath of the mortal enemies of Adequate Man. The landlord who keeps reminding him the rent is late. The neighborhood tabby cat that triggers his allergies. The cute, perky ex who just wants to be friends now. The messy, filthy apartment that still refuses to clean itself. And his ultimate nemesis, the Joker. Specifically, his old high school acquaintance, Bob, who now works in upper management in the same company. Still working in data entry, eh, Adequate Man? Don't let the high stress get to you. Oh, the laughter. Crazed, mocking laughter. One day, Bob, you will get yours. And so, citizens, the next time you need a hero who can help you rake your leaves, or give you a lift to the airport, or take money at the door at your next poetry event, you know whom to look for. Look over there, smoking behind the 7-Eleven. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it a no-smoking sign on a plane? Is it a fidget spinner? Is it a chocolate teapot? Is it a ladle? Is it a bidet? Is it a jack-in-the-box? Is it a designer purse? Is it a tea cozy? Is it a tooth grill? Is it a toast rack? Is it an egg slicer? Is it a mattress tag that reads, do not remove? No, it's Adequate Man, the quintessential hero of our times. Thank you. That was called Adequate Man. So, my throat has been acting weird today, so if you find me launching into a sudden coughing fit or clearing my throat at weird times, just clap that. Just pretend that's part of the poem. Well, I hope you're in a romantic mood right now, because I got kind of a love poem for you. This is called An Honest Proposal. My dear, my love, please accept my hand in marriage. There's nothing more romantic I can think of. Just think of it. Think of the lovely life we'll share. Think of the rapturous wedding we'll hold. Think of the passionate honeymoon. Think of the limitless lovemaking. Think of the joy of stepping into our first house. Think of the tears we'll shed when our first child is born. Think of the pride we'll feel watching our child grow up. Think of the slightly fewer tears we'll shed when our second child is born. Think of the stretch marks you'll have. Just think of it. Think of the years of family dinners spent together. Think of the birthday parties and Christmas mornings. Think of the endless school hockey games and plays. Think of the countless sibling fights we'll break up. Think of the disappointing report cards. Think of the minimal amount of tears we'll shed when our third child is born. Think of the neglect our middle child will suffer. Think of the times our middle child will act out because of our neglect. Think of the moment the cop will tell us our middle child has been arrested for vandalism. Just think of it. Think of the dull daily routine into which our lives will plummet. Think of the day we stop going out without the children. Think of the evening sitting in front of the TV and never speaking to each other. Think of the passive-aggressive verbal jabs we'll poke at each other. Think of the moment we'll forget what we saw in each other in the first place. Think of the screaming arguments our children will overhear when they're in bed. Think of the slamming doors and hurled plates. Think of the silent treatments and insincere apologies. Think of the therapy bills our children will pay. Just think of it. Think of the night I'll catch you receiving cunnilingus from my brother's weightlifting trainer. Think of the condescending tone you'll adopt to mock my sexual inadequacy. Think of the tiny basement apartment into which I'll move. Think of the vicious, exhausting court battle we'll prolong for months. Think of the enormous legal bills and time wasted. Think of the way we'll make our children choose which of us they love more. Think of the friends we'll lose and the gossip they'll share. Think of the size my belly'll grow as I just stop caring. Think of the botched plastic surgery that'll symbolize your desperate drive to stay young. Just think of it. Think of the thousands of lonely nights of TV dinners and masturbation. Think of the chronic online stalking of old high school crushes. Think of the... Oh, you're leaving? I suppose you need more time to think. I'll be waiting here with this beautiful tungsten wedding ring. A life together. Just think of it. That was an honest proposal, thank you. Now, there has been a lot of talk over the last year and a half, maybe a little more than that, about artificial intelligence and how that's going to affect our creative endeavors. I'm not afraid of AI, honestly. I've done a little experimenting with AI poetry. So here is what I came up with. This is just called AI poem. Hello, this is real poem by real poet. Here is metaphor for futility of life. Life is undercooked pie, devoured by crabs in heat, in purple Commodore 64 computer, divided by 43. Why is sky green? Because there is no bananas in portrait of my last duchess. My name is Ozymandias, hear me roar. And she is buying stairway in park with George. Summertime. And your mother is easy. And I guess that is why they call it blue velvet. Exit pursued by Bear Bodkin. Now, real poet tries to obtain Arts Council grant. Hello, this is conventional literary poet. Poet writes about nature and poet's pet cat and struggles of poet's immigrant family before poet was born. And wild caribou, that is symbol for futility of life. And lots of alliteration and sound bonding. An error has occurred. To continue, press enter to return to the stanza, or press Ctrl-Alt-Delete to restart the poem. If you do this, you will lose any unsaved imagery in all of the previous lines. Error 016F, BFF 9B3D4. Press any key to continue. 0% complete. 13% complete. 34% complete. 56% complete. 78% complete. 93% complete. 98% complete. 99% complete. 100% complete. Hello, this is Real Poem by Real Poet. Now Real Poet tries to score high slam points. Hello, this is Slam Poet. Poet is very politically aware and cares deeply about relevant social issues and uses audience as personal group therapy and uses word awesome sauce for effect and for laugh and ends poem before 3-minute time limit. Real Poem ends now. Signed, Real Poet. So there you go. That's the future of poetry by AI. Now, as mentioned, I do have my debut novel copy. You can't have this one. This is my reading copy. It's kind of messed up. This is my debut novel, Hate Story, which is available for 15 euros. And I'm going to defeat your expectations by reading from the book, but not reading from the novel itself. I'm going to read the bonus material, because like DVDs, this has bonus material in it. Bonus extras. This is called Sympatica Books, Inc. Dear Mr. Orwell, thank you very much for your interest in Sympatica Books, Inc. We have reviewed your submitted manuscript, The Animal Farm, and we have decided, regrettably, that it is not the right fit for our lineup. Although your novella is well-written and has a few interesting ideas, we feel that it also has some serious issues and needs a lot of work. Our main problem with your manuscript is the characters, specifically that none of them is very likable. There isn't a single one a reader can root for. We feel strongly that main characters in fiction must always be likable and never have any flaws or do anything the reader might disagree with. Most of the pigs in Animals Farm are so nasty and power-obsessed, and they do many cruel things to the other animals. They kill them, they lie to them and manipulate them, they betray them. How is a person supposed to relate to that kind of behavior? Nobody's like that in real life. And even the animals who are victims of the abuse, you don't feel much for them either, Mr. Orwells. They don't fight back or try to win the day. They just take all the oppression passively. That's so depressing. A reader needs to cheer somebody on to be a hero, but your book doesn't deliver that. Our other big issue with your manuscript is the story itself, that it's just so unbelievable and unrealistic. A group of farm animals drive the owner away and take over the farm. Don't you find that a little far-fetched, Mr. Wells? A little hard to imagine? Animals can get a little rambunctious now and then, but they could never take over a whole farm like that. And even if they did, it's hard to believe they would run the farm so poorly. There's so much corruption among the pigs that the whole thing turns into a virtual dictatorship. I don't think that could happen even with human beings, let alone with animals. You're not giving the reader much credit. Our team at Sympatica Books, Inc. is confused about your goals for Animal Farms. It's too violent and intense for a children's book, and it's too dark and pessimistic for a fantasy. We can't imagine what kind of demographic you're aiming for, or why anyone would want to spend their free time with these characters. But I have some good news. Our focus group of beta readers has come up with some constructive suggestions that may help you improve your book. First, instead of all those mean pigs, why not have one really nice pig? Give the nice pig a friend or two. I think it's sad that you never gave the animals any good friendships, but I bet the reader would love to see one. Maybe the nice pig has a cute little spider friend who weaves nice messages about the pig in her web. That sends the pig on some fun adventures. Don't you think that would make a good kid's book? I think so. And maybe the nice pig learns how to herd sheep, and he goes on to win a sheep herding competition. That would send an uplifting message about believing in yourself. Another issue, our beta readers don't like the catchphrase you gave to Boxer the horse. I will work harder. Nobody's ever going to quote that. We came up with a better catchphrase. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. See, now that's catchy and fun. That's what a reader wants. Well, the point I'm trying to make, after the years pass and we're all rotting in the ground, the generations after us will remember only one thing about our literature. It's marketability. Please, Keep working hard at your writing, and maybe someday you'll get a lot better at it and write something worth publishing, Mr. Orson. Something with a fun plot and a likable hero. Like that nice Nancy Drew. Now there's a plucky little one. Why don't you give us a character like that? That would be swell. Sincerely, Simpatica Books, Inc. Books for people who don't want a challenge. That's Simpatica Books, Inc. Bonus material in my novel. How am I doing for time? A couple more? A poem and a song, maybe? Yeah. Poem and a song. I don't know if my voice can hold up for the song. We'll see. Oh, how about this one? I haven't done this one over here yet. This is it's called Trying to Break into the Group Conversation. So this is a nice restaurant. What did you guys order? I know somebody like that. Yeah, but to answer your question, I know a guy who, at, when, the best part of that movie, then, you know, the most important rule of life that everybody should know, that solves every problem, is anybody even hearing me? Is there any? Nobody can hear me. I'm a serial killer with 12 bodies buried in my basement. I'm going to give $1,000 to each one of you. There's a deadly hurricane heading for this area right now. I know for a fact that the chef peed in all of your dishes. Not yours. I have undeniable proof that God exists and that he hates people who listen to rap metal. All of your flies are open, wide open. I'm going to leave now without paying my share of the bill. Bye, assholes. Thank you. Trying to break into the group conversation. Whoops, things are falling. Okay, I don't know for sure if my throat is quite there, but we're going to try a song, maybe. Do we have any Star Wars fans here? We have Star Wars. Do we have any Peter Gabriel fans here? Peter Gabriel? I thought I saw a couple hands there. I mean, if anybody had their hands up for both, this is for you. I took George Lucas and Peter Gabriel, and I took them behind a bush, and they did some unspeakable things, and they came up with this. May 25th, 77, when the Star Wars movie'd come, it was business as usual for galactic bounty scum. Oh, Greedo, 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 Greedo. Yeah, Greedo, 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 Greedo. Give him money, give him money, or Han is dead, or Han is dead. Do 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 do. When he hit Mos Eisley to collect old Jabba's pay, Solo fried him with one blast and buggered off to the docking bay. Oh, Greedo. Greedo, Greedo's Greedo. You can sing along if you want to, you know. Yeah, Greedo, Greedo, Greedo's Greedo. Payback Jabba, payback Jabba, or Han is dead, or Han is dead. Do 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 do. You can shoot down a smuggler, but you can't shoot down the force. Not that Greedo had a chance, Solo creamed his ass, of course. Oh, Greedo, Greedo, Greedo's Greedo. Yeah, Greedo, Greedo, Greedo's Greedo. Cornachota! Cornachota! Now Greedo's dead. Now Greedo's dead. Do 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 do. And the eyes of the world saw Han shoot first. Han shot first. I think you sang that better than I did. Thank you. That was Greedo. My name is Jeff. This is my novel, Hate Story. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. You've been great.